One thing you got to see more of in the preseason games with the Pittsburgh Steelers was how they were using the middle part of the field with their offense. That, to me, is a big emphasis of their games in the preseason that we didn't talk about enough. Joining me to talk about today is Josh Taylor of 93.7 The Fan and KDK TV. We're going to break down that, how the offensive schemes play into that, other aspects from the offensive coordinator, and talk about the second unit on defense and if they've done enough to address it. I'm Chris Carter, the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things in the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on this video. If you enjoyed, hit the subscribe button on its YouTube, on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content whenever we get it out there. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Joining me today, as I said earlier, is Josh Taylor, my man. He's back in on the scene. Josh, how you doing?
I'm good, man. It's... First of all, I got to point out, we're going into week one of college football, so I'm already, my adrenaline is already starting to flow because we got week zero out of the way. I'm still maybe a little bit of a high. My Duquesne Dukes went into Tallahassee and covered the spread against Florida State. That's four straight games covering against FBS teams on the road. Taxes and Duquesne against FBS teams on the road. So I'm a little bit buzzed about that. But week one of college football is coming up. Backyard brawl is coming up. College football always gets me going. So I'm glad I got that week of buffer between the preseason and the regular season because I can just go nuts as a college football fan this weekend. I'm all into it.
Absolutely. I'm into it too. If you're watching this on Thursday or listening to this on a Thursday, the Backyard Brawl is tonight. I'll be there at Acrisure Stadium covering Pitt versus West Virginia for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But let's get into the main topic I wanted to discuss with you, Josh, and that's the middle part of the field. We saw more of that in these preseason games, and not just one preseason game, but I'd say each of them, where all three, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, were targeting down the middle part of the field more. And they were throwing sideline passes too. You saw some really good back shoulder fades from both Trubisky and Pickett, but especially you saw the middle part of the field open. You saw them get the ball to Pat Freiermuth. I think that was one of the bigger plays of the touchdown drive they had against the Lions last Sunday. That part of this offense has been missing for too long with Ben Roethlisberger, and it was encouraging to see it. But did you see enough to think that it's going to be an actual part of this offense again, or do you think that could have been a ruse and it could disappear and that this might be more of a Matt Canada thing than it was a Ben thing?
I've seen enough to make me hope it's a part of this offense, and it's something that's worth pointing out too. There were times when Kenny Pickett was at Pitt where Pitt wouldn't throw in the middle of the field. And that was more of an offensive scheme thing. And then you saw a change in offensive coordinator and things started to ease up a little bit. So I tend to think between the offense that Kenny Pickett played in last season or last couple seasons at Pitt, the offense that Matt Canada wants to roll out, at least the more true version of it that we should expect to see this season, I'm to the point where I expect it. And if it doesn't happen, I'll be very, very majorly disappointed. I'll take us all the way back to the bye week last season. And there was a question that Mike Tomlin was asked about what he was watching as far as film during the bye week. And he had a very specific answer.
I was there when he answered. I remember.
And you were there. And for the record, when I'm watching the Mike Tomlin press conference, because my days of covering the Tomlin press conference have come and gone. And honestly, I don't like waking up early in the morning anyway, so I'm not mad. But still, I usually listen for the same people asking questions. I'm like, oh, there's Carter's voice. But Mike Tomlin was asked the question about what he watched specifically during the bye week as far as tape. And he said he was watching tape on mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And more specifically, how it helps them on third and short and fourth and short situations. Now, why would that be important, you might ask? That becomes important with a mobile quarterback because a mobile quarterback in a third and short or fourth or short situation is going to command attention in the middle of the field. And it becomes important if you can have plays in the middle of the field in your passing game, it now becomes harder to defend a mobile quarterback when you're trying to commandeer that part of the field and leaving him possibly open to get out of the pocket if he needs to, if the pass rush gets on his trail. So now it becomes a lot more harder to defend the middle of the field when A, your passing game is throwing in the middle of the field, B, you have a mobile quarterback who's going to take attention away from the guy standing in the middle of the field, and C, you have a running back that if he gets space in the middle of the field, he's going to gain yardage. Now it's an entirely different playbook, if you will. Not saying that the actual diagram plays change, but the down and distance now dictates a lot differently what an offense can call. And what was one of the situations the Steelers struggled with the most last season offensively? Third and short, fourth down and short. Why? Because they couldn't seem to manipulate the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. So now I'm to the point where I expect to see this offense not only have the benefit and the advantage of a mobile quarterback, but also probably have an entirely different set of play calls that they're going to use on third and fourth and short, having the opportunity to take advantage of that section of the field. And you're right. They started to show that during the preseason. I liked the way that both Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, when given the opportunity, found ways to get the ball to Pat Freiermuth. We didn't see Ben Roethlisberger really start to get that under grasp until we saw that game in Cleveland last season. And Freiermuth started making plays. He made a play down the middle, ends up catching a touchdown pass, was a really pivotal part of the game. Then we saw that happen, but the problem was it took a while to get to that point. If you have Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky, whoever decides to start, we're not going to try to assume, but whoever that quarterback is.
I'm assuming.
I know you're assuming, and I'm pretty much assuming too, for the sake of argument. But whoever that quarterback is, they now know whether it's Pat Freiermuth, whether it is Zach Gentry, because I think he's a weapon there too, or
I think so too.
Or even Connor Hayward. Like these are, you got three different guys I'd that also can all say, make plays in three different ways.
I'd also say Chase Claypool. Don't sleep on his impact as a big guy. If he can get healthy, which I think they've been saving him, I think he's going to get healthy. You know, they've been using him in the slot more in the preseason. I think he's another big body, you know, type of, you know, an extra tight end to go on the field. But he, of course, he's a wide receiver, but he's an athlete that can stretch even further down the field. But those are the guys I think that can change things for this Steelers offense. And once they open up the middle of the field with their mobility, stretch them horizontally a little bit more, that middle part of the field is where those guys can not just make big catches, but make big plays after the catch.
And they can become big matchup problems too. That's a whole other can of worms. Because we saw this happen in that third preseason game when you finally see Najee Harris on the field, him in the backfield, and he comes in motion. He splits out wide too. And now if you're the quarterback, you're going, all right, where's the mismatch? Find it. What was one of the things that Tom Brady was really good at when he was a Patriot, especially in the third down and goal? A third down in the red zone, finding the mismatch. And a lot of times inside the 10-yard line, if he was spread out, it was probably James White. He found that mismatch a lot of times.
When yes, he did.
So you have a lot of guys now. Like, we've seen this skill group pretty much transform in the last two seasons alone as far as guys who can now become matchup problems in the middle of the field. And I'm going to point this one out as far as an observation, too. It's not necessarily the same kind of situation, but it still counts. In the red zone, Kenny Pickett, trying to find a guy. Granted, it was a two-point conversion attempt, but what was it? Connor Hayward stick route right there in the middle of the field. He got him right there at the hash mark. So
and it was a play he asked for.
And it's a play that he called for, and Connor Hayward was the guy he wanted. So this is all really – it's all pertinent, if you think about it, as far as the ability of this team to make plays inside the middle of the field, which is something that's been lacking for a while.
Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how the coordinator plays into that. We can talk about the players a lot, but we got to talk about how Matt Canada, because a lot of people are still doubting. I'm not so sure. I want to get Josh's opinion on how Matt Canada, if Matt Canada can scheme that more up specifically. But first, we got to talk to you guys about one of our great sponsors, and that's the Elias Game Plan app. It's almost the start of the NFL season, literally around the corner. I love this type of year. And if you're into sports betting or fantasy, you need a competitive edge to win, it's time to get the Elias Game Plan app. It's the ultimate sports betting and fantasy companion for NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball. Elias Game Plan is the only sports app from the most trusted name in sports stats, the Elias Sports Bureau. And they're the official statisticians of U.S. pro sports leagues, including the NFL. You get players' news, league-validated stats and records, expert gambling and fantasy analysis, player and team previews, updated all season long for the most respected research team in the industry. Take my advice. Download the Elias Game Plan app today. The NFL season is right around the corner, so don't wait. Find the Elias Game Plan app in the App Store or the Play Store today. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Josh Taylor. Let's talk about what Matt Canada can do here, because it's not just enough to have a tight end and say, go to the middle part of the field and to say quarterback, throw it to such to said tight end. You have to find ways to open it up. And you and I were talking off air about a certain recent Steelers offensive coordinator who used to do that, who used to find things that could pick at a defense, force them to guard one part of the field or guard one concept, and it opens them up to another concept. And you said that was Todd Haley. And I remembered, I was like, I do remember that being a problem for a lot of defenses when they played the Steelers. There'd be things that he would kind of set you up with, and Ben Roethlisberger would feed off of that. And then all of a sudden, you see things start to open up, and not just the middle part of the field, but all around. But what kind of concepts or things can you see from Matt Canada that'll help the offense get that middle part of the field back?
Well, I will say I totally endorse the thing that we talked about off air about Todd Haley, but I'd be remiss if I also didn't point out that was also something that Ken Whisenhunt was good at.
Yes, he was.
So I would be remiss if I didn't mention that, because if we're going to talk about the years that Ben Roethlisberger had the best command of this offense, it was under two guys, Todd Haley and Ken Whisenhunt. Both of those guys really emphasized the same thing of using certain things to set up defenses and allowing them to take advantage of it. And that pretty much, that entire 2005 run during the playoffs was a lot of Ken Whisenhunt's influence of not only setting teams up for certain plays, but also starting out the game with things that defenses didn't see coming. And Ken Whisenhunt really had three stellar game plans in those three playoff games leading up to Super Bowl 40. So I wanted to make sure I pointed that out. Now on the Cubs, the subject of Matt Canada, I love discussing this because, Chris, I was the one 2 years ago telling you Matt Canada is going to be the new offensive coordinator for this team. It's coming.
You did.
It's coming. Just wait for it. And Terrell Lawson's going to be the new defensive coordinator. It's coming. Just wait for it.
You called it on this show. You said that both those things were going to happen when they were still just position coaches. And, you know, while everyone was still wondering what's up with Keith Butler, what's up with Randy Feuchner, and you were here right on this show saying, yeah, those guys are going to be gone and these guys are going to be the coordinators.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things I like to remind people, because people act like they forget stuff. But still, it's worth pointing this out. And I'm going to bring up two specific examples to talk about what Matt Canada is capable of doing. And if you're still on the fence about it, I'm going to bring this back to your mind. The first thing I'm going to bring up, and actually both these things are Pitt related, so you'll enjoy this, Chris.
Okay.
The first one I'm going to bring up is Kenny Pickett's very first pass attempt in a Steeler uniform.
Okay.
What did Matt Canada call? Calls a play action, roll out, dump it off to the tight end. I believe it was Jay Sternberger who caught that pass. And I'm sitting there back in my mind going, Matt Canada is trying to get Kenny Pickett comfortable.
Yes, he is.
Moving the pocket and letting him make a short pass for a decent gain in the middle of the field so that way he can get himself into a rhythm. And then what happened after that? A couple more play calls, a screen here, a short pass here, a run here. And Kenny Pickett was in a rhythm. That particular drive, they get in the end zone, and then they run that two-point conversion play we talked about earlier with Connor Hayward. All those things were to set Kenny Pickett up, to get him into a rhythm, and also to see what the defense was going to give him. And when the defense gave him something, Matt Cannon said, okay, well, if they're going to give you this, let's move this in this direction, and let's exploit it. They did that really well in that drive. If there's anything I've noticed, any scoring drive that Kenny Pickett has led in a Steeler uniform, the scoring drives particularly, they've been able to call plays that where you might see something happen early on and it sets up something later on.
Yep.
It didn't have to be necessarily a deep shot down the field, but it would still be a play that gains significant yardage that gets them a first down, or a play in the middle of the field like we discussed, or it opens up a big hole for a running play as well, which Anthony McFarland took advantage of, which Jaylen Warren took advantage of. It doesn't matter what the play call is. It doesn't necessarily matter where it's going, but it will set up opportunity to get yards in chunks. And it's one of those things where you kind of have to remind people that a lot of modern offenses that you see, there isn't really that's much different from older offenses. I mean, there's a lot of Don Coryell influence on modern offenses.
Agreed.
Don Coryell's philosophy was you stretch it out, a defense out horizontally to then stretch them vertically.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw that a lot with Todd Haley when he was the offensive coordinator. You saw some of it in different variations under Randy Feuchner, but it wasn't as blatant. It wasn't as obvious because there was a little bit more of Ben Roethlisberger, you know, influence on that offense. And you can tell there's maybe a little bit of a shift there in philosophy. But every once in a while, you'd see it like with a short screen pass, and it might set up something down the sideline, or it might set up something down the hash marks. And that's something that you kind of looked at and said, okay, I know what they were trying to do because I see what the sequence is. And Matt Canada is very good for doing that. We talked about it on Kenny Pickett's first draft, his first drive in a Steeler uniform, Matt Canada being Matt Canada, because that's exactly what he was doing. He was giving Kenny Pickett not only plays to build confidence, but also plays that could set up the defense and give him specific things that would open up, which will also in turn build his confidence. Because
right.
I talked to a college basketball coach years ago. I asked him a long time ago. I said, you know, does success breed confidence, or does confidence breed success, or is it chicken and egg? He said, actually, it's chicken and egg. He said, because sometimes you come in confident, you can be successful, or sometimes you can have a couple good plays happen, or you get on a run. And then it builds your confidence. It really just depends on the context of it all. In this particular situation, you have Matt Canada in a situation where he's given his quarterback opportunities to build confidence by scheming up things that free up certain areas of the field. And it doesn't have to be specifically one area, because you and I both know this, Chris. They're going to use misdirection. They're going to use horizontal moves. They're going to use play action. They're going to move the pocket. And usually when that happens, it does two things, really. One, it takes the focus off the offensive line, because the defense can't attack the gap so quickly and they can't get to one area of the field. Now they have to kind of pause a little bit to make sure they know where the ball's going. That's the first thing. The second thing is it's going to open up some area of the field that might give them an opportunity for a big play.
Absolutely. I think that's a big part of it. This was less, you know, this wasn't a complex thing, but during the Lions game, Mitch Trubisky hits Deontay Johnson deep down the sideline. The next two plays were a run by Najee Harris and a screen to Najee Harris. The run got 9 yards. The screen got 11 yards. And that's just basic stretching the field. But something that I think that we saw, we used to see a lot with Le'Veon Bell, especially when Heath Miller was around. And then, you know, and something I think you could really see with Pat Freiermuth and Najee Harris, with the skill sets that they provide, is combining those running back routes, combining those ways to get open up the middle part of the field. Also, congratulations to Serena Williams. I've been watching. If you've been thinking that I'm falling asleep, I was watching my phone beneath the screen here as she was winning the second round of the U.S. Open. I was really pulling for her to have a great run in her last U.S. Open. But in all seriousness, I see what Najee Harris can do out of the receiving game, the Texas routes, the quick routes. And then also you have Chase Claypool. There's ways to stack those routes on top of each other. There'd be so many times Le'Veon Bell would just go to the middle part of the field, and if you left him alone, he was going to hurt you. And I feel like Najee Harris is the same way. A lot of the underneath passes Najee Harris was catching was in the flat where everyone was looking for it, and no, there was nothing disguising it. But if you have it layered with, you know, say he runs a Texas route, and then you got Pat Freiermuth running a seam up the middle, and then maybe you have Chase Claypool kind of working a post route, then you're creating these layers that the linebackers and safeties in the middle part of the field have to make tough calls on. And then it gives you the choice, quarterback, just A, B, or C, same area, read this part of the field. As long as they're not hitting you, you should be able to see this. And that's where I think there's a big difference for the Steelers offense this year. They have the talent to do those type of things. It's just going to be about, can the coordinator get the quarterback to see it? Ben wasn't part of that. Ben wasn't really into that the last few years. If Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, if they are, I think it bodes something very well for the Steelers offense.
I'm going to get a little X's and O's now, because you brought up something that just set off a lot of bells in my head. The opportunity to stack routes and have different depths and sections of the field, that's an Earhart Perkins staple. For those of us who pay attention to what the playbooks look like, of course, I do mean Ron Earhart, who was the Steelers offensive coordinator some almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's an old one, Josh.
It's a name that should ring off in your mind, but that's the guy who pretty much originated that offense when he was still with the New York Giants way back when under Bill Parcells. But we later saw that under Bill Cowher during that run to Super Bowl 30. That offense they were running, Earhart Perkins. One to throw it out there, little history lesson. But You're absolutely right about how they're able to now, you know, attack certain levels of the field or attack different levels of the field. And it makes it important. And I'll point this out, too. You mentioned it with Najee Harris. Some of the backup running backs were doing that, too. Jaylen Warren had opportunities to attack the middle of the field like that. I'm trying to remember. Man, my mind went blank there for a second. Anthony McFarland had opportunities to do that in the backfield. You saw running backs in this offense catching passes out of the backfield, and it wasn't just Najee. And it was really not necessarily just the fact of the running back making such a great play. It was the defense really dropping back with the receivers and the tight ends, and all this room was underneath for the running back to do damage. And Jalen Warren benefited that from that a handful of times, including scoring a touchdown pass from Kenny Pickett during, I believe, was that first preseason game. So you did see a lot of it. And it's another one of those things where I look at it and say, okay, I see what they're trying to do here. Because when you're able to make a defense guess what's going to happen, as opposed to what happened in the past couple years, when the defense pretty much said, hey, we know what you can't do, so we're going to force you to do what you can't do by taking what you can do away from you. We know you can't throw the ball deep, so we're going to take the short pass away from you. We're going to take the run away from you and force you to do the thing you can't do. Well, now, when you can't really tell that from looking at things, and you can't tell that by knowing who the quarterback is, now it makes it a lot more difficult for a defense to not only anticipate what you're going to do, but also try to figure out what you're trying to exploit and get to that before the offense can get there.
Absolutely. We do want to talk a little bit of defense. We've been very offensive heavy. And we talked a little bit yesterday on the show about Malik Reed and what he brings to the Steelers depth-wise. I want to talk more about that depth with Josh Taylor and specifically about that second-team defense, that the guys are going to come in and give the first guys a rest. Because I think a lot of people are very confident about that first team. That second team, that's where you saw the run defense start to leak a bit in that game against the Lions. We'll talk about them in a minute. But first, we have to talk to you about a very serious message from our National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration. If you're hanging out with some friends and you're putting back a few drinks, but then a few becomes a few too many, then the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you'll probably think of calling for a ride. But then you might say, oh, you live nearby. You can make it home okay. It's not that big a deal. What are the odds that you'll get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up. You lose your license. You lose your job. You total your car. You kill someone. You see how quickly that can escalate? That's what happens because everyone knows the risks of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive home after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, of Chris Carter, he's Josh Taylor. We're breaking things down here now. Now, Josh, like I said, they added Malik Reed. He had his first practice on Wednesday. I liked that addition. It was a nice, safe, you know, trade to get him. You know, I'm not too high about Jesse Davis on the offensive line. I think he would need a lot of work to really contribute there. But I am higher on Malik Reed. He's had 13 sacks in the last 2 years. He's been able to get pressures. He's been a consistent starter for the Broncos. And that, to me, he's a guy. I know a lot of people are thinking, oh, what about Melvin Ingram? Well, yeah, he came in and he thought he was going to be a starter. This guy isn't Melvin Ingram. This guy is going to be a good backup. But it made me start to think again about, have they done enough to address the second group of defenders on this roster? Well, they are deep at defensive line. That second defensive line was getting kind of pieced up a little bit by that Lions run game. And I know it's a preseason game and all that, but it was still kind of concerning there. And, you know, I could see Malik Reed and Derek Tuska being good secondary edge rushers, but, you know, with the cornerback situation, are people, I think that they're deep there too, but is this a group that, you know, from top to bottom on the defense, that they've done enough to address the immediate guys who are going to back up the starters?
I think it's still a work in progress, and we're not going to see the full capability of it probably until week four, week five, but that's the situation that's going to take care of itself just because of injuries and things like that. So we're not going to see the full, you know, for Star Wars fans, the full capability of that space station until maybe week four, good week reference. Five. So it's not going to be the full strength of what it could be. I think it's a work in progress. I am very nervous, just like you are, about the defensive line. And that was a group that I've been really high on in the offseason, but they did not really validate my confidence as much during the preseason.
They didn't do enough.
Because I thought bringing back guys like Montrevious Adams and Isaiah Loudermilk and having Chris Worley, I thought those moves made sense. I thought those moves were useful because they were guys that got a lot of reps last year, and they showed flashes that they could be, you know, somewhat productive. Did it happen as a unit? Not all the time. But I thought there was opportunity for them to at least flourish, but it didn't really show. The thing that scares me the most is the inside linebacker position. A lot of people are scared about, you know, the second guy in that pairing or who that second guy is going to be, and rightfully so. So if the second guy scares you, what do 3, 4, and 5 make you feel like? Because don't get me wrong, I'm a guy who likes Mark Robinson. I think he's a capable guy as far as moving in space. I wonder if his role is as efficient in the base package as it might be in, say, the sub package. I think the sub package, you let him move around a little bit more. He can make some plays in coverage, plays in space, maybe make some plays in the run game. I think he might be a little bit more free roaming there and able to do a little bit more. So that's one thing I think about. But, you know, let's think back a couple of years here, Chris, when they had 6 or 7 different guys playing inside linebacker. It wasn't fun then. And if we get to 3 or 4 this season, I don't think it's going to be fun either. So this is something that should, I would hope, that shouldn't be as big of a problem because injuries were such a big deal at that one position a couple of years ago. But if I'm wrong about that, and, and especially if Miles Jack goes down with an injury, especially a significant one, that's the part that scares me. And that scares me more than the defensive line. Now, as far as the secondary is concerned, I think they've done a really good job to address the depth in the last couple of years. I know some people were saying, well, they don't have a true CB1. But look, folks, they went to 3 Super Bowls in half a decade without a true CB1. They just had a lot of guys that were really good at their job and a couple really distinct stars. So that's not something that worries me as much. And this secondary has a bunch of guys that are at least showing that they're good at their jobs. Even the slot position, there's even depth there. So maybe an Arthur Mollett goes down. You can slide a Cam Sutton inside if you want to and send, put someone else outside. Or you can have Trey Norwood in the slot. Or when DeMonte KZ comes back from injury, he's a guy you could put in the slot. So even that situation, I'm comfortable with. But the defensive line and the backup inside linebackers, that gives me a little bit of pause.
I agree. Those are two major areas of concern. And like you said, like Mark Robinson, I'm excited to see how that guy grows. Vince Williams himself said Mark Robinson is better as a rookie than Vince Williams was as a rookie. And that's high praise because Vince Williams was a starter as a rookie. But I also think Mark Robinson is very raw. And the inside linebacker position is one where you have to be a thinking player on your feet. And not saying that he can't be and he isn't, but I think it takes time to build those instincts. And when you're a linebacker, that there's something that you got to play fast. That's one thing that you'll hear coaches say, play fast, play fast. And playing fast doesn't mean not thinking. It means that you're so used to your position and your reactions and how to respond to different situations that you're not thinking. Your thought, your reactions are basically the level of you've already thought through this so much that this is how quick you're reacting to something. So that's certainly a concern there. You know, Robert Spillane, I think, is fine when the play is, you know, within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage. But as soon as he starts backing up, that's when I think that he's at his weakness. But again, he's a hard worker. You like the effort there, but effort's not going to be enough. And Montrevious Adams, we'll see if they put him on injured reserve. I think they will. If he can come back at some point, that'd be great. The fact that they kept him on the roster, though, I think is a very good sign that they not only are, you know, we'll see him getting healthy soon, but they believe in him and his talent for what he can bring to the defense. But I'm right with you. That's the secondary defensive line. They've got to do more. I like DeMarvin Leal. I've said that a lot. I think he can develop into a better player. But again, he's a rookie. You don't want to have to depend upon him unless it's down to the wire and you really just don't have that many other options. But, you know, I agree. Isaiah Loudermilk, Chris Wormley weren't as improved against the run as I was thinking they could be. And that is somewhat of a concern there. Again, you're not going to ask for these guys all the time, but when they're off the field, teams are going to try to pick at that. And that can lead to problems. And those problems can lead to big plays at the wrong moments for the Steelers.
That's exactly what I'm worried about. And if anything has taught us that, it's the past couple seasons. Because last year, it was a defensive line that got ravaged by injuries. 2 years ago, it was a linebacking core. I want to say there was a year specifically when the defensive backfield had its issues with injuries. But I mean, I'm talking maybe 4 or 5 years back. But we've seen this happen in different instances where your depth gets affected and the entire level of play comes down. And it's not one of those things where you can just say, okay, put this guy in here and have the coaches coach him up and tell him everything. And there's still a certain level of expectation. Even coaches will tell you, hey, there's going to be a drop-off between your number one and your number two guy, and there's even a bigger drop-off between your number one guy and your number three guy. Mm-hmm. So that's something you take into account when you start bringing injuries into the mix. That's why there's so many teams year to year that look great on paper. And all it takes is one injury where there wasn't a lot of depth, and it can snowball. And that's the thing that keeps that team probably from winning a couple games that could have made them maybe a team that made the playoffs or a team that wins a division and gets a first round bye. Those are those things that come back to bite you. And that we're not even talking about the timing of it all. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take you all the way back to 2017.
Yep.
December of 2017. I tell people there's two lines of demarcation when it comes to this franchise. One was week two of 2019, and the other one was December of 2017. When Ryan Shazier played his last game on the field in Cincinnati, that was a clear line of demarcation
of
what this defense was and what it could have been and never became. And then the other one was Ben Roethlisberger when he injured his elbow as far as what the offense could have been during that 2019 season, what that team could have been in 2019. But that 2017 season really showed you just how much they depended upon Ryan Shazier as both the guy in the middle of that defense and one of their biggest playmakers. And all it takes is one injury in an area that doesn't have a lot of depth, and it just snowballs from there, and you see the result of it before.
The Steelers cannot afford those injury to one of their stars on the defensive side of the ball because of these depth problems. Maybe they address it, though. We'll find out as the weeks roll on and into the season. We've got one more weekend before NFL football is back. But like Josh said, college football is back. The backyard brawls tonight. Read my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette as I'm covering it there with my man Noah Hiles. We'll also have Jason Mackey, Mike DeFable, and a whole team of writers there. It's going to be a very fun night, Thursday night. Check us out there. But we'll also be doing an episode tomorrow. Fun fact, I've actually already recorded it with Jetta Harner. It will be up and running on Friday. Good to go. So do check that out. We had a great conversation about a lot of different aspects of the team. So be sure to watch out for that. Josh, thanks so much for joining us. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Josh Taylor HD. That is the easiest place to find me as far as social media. As far as finding my work, cbspittsburgh.com. You can probably find some episodes of the Island Contracting Nightly Sports Call there. They keep them there pretty frequently. You can also watch CBS Pittsburgh Live while the news is going on. I'll be there this weekend, both Friday and Saturday night. KDK News at 6, 10, and 11. Also on Saturday at 6, 7, 10, and 11. You can watch KDK TV online at cbspittsburgh.com.
Absolutely. Check them out all the different ways. You can check out Josh Taylor. Please do. You see how knowledgeable that brother is. He knows what he's talking about. Thanks so much for being on the show, Josh. Thank you for checking us out here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Read my work on Pitt Athletics at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Check me out on the Locked On Steelers podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed it on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content. And if you want to help out the show even further, go on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star with a positive comment. Do both at the same time, and you get a shout out at the end of the show. Like this person, we have Steeler Hokies. It's fantastic. Chris Carter is hands down the best sports show anchor I have ever encountered. Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much, Steeler Hokie. He said he's balanced, thoughtful, and insightful with his commentary and has a great rotating set of guests. Passionate without being biased, also clearly the best rapper on the Locked On Network. Just listen to his Twista-like intro. Yes, oh, wow. I give a very fast intro because I want to get to the show for you guys. So if you appreciate that, drop a like on the video as well, please.
Chris has been known to drop a bar on my radio show, too.
I have dropped a few bars.
He will drop a bar.
There is that. Thanks again for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm Chris Carter. He's Josh Taylor. Back tomorrow with Jenna Harner finishing out the week. And then it's week one of the NFL season.